Welcome to The Saturday Set, and this is my favourite episode of the year, King Zone, because I get to do my annual call to arms to say to everyone out there who's a punter, the footy's out of the way, and this is our time this next month. Forget about work, forget about your friends and family who don't care for the punt. They will still be there in a month, but we need to come together for this month, do our best. We will prevail. Are you ready, King Zone?
I'm ready.
What about you, Fizz? Are you ready, mate?
I'm ready.
Excellent, excellent. Well, why don't we get straight into it then? We're going to go down to Caulfield. We've got four features race to look at. We will have a look at the race we're meeting later on. But we're going to start with an intriguing race, and it is the Might and Power Stakes. We've got Buckaroo and Treasure the Moment dominating the market. Let's go look at Buckaroo. This is in the Underwood when he trucks up to Sir Dilius on the inside there, says, see you later, Sir Dilius. But then Sir Dilius says, not today. Fights back. When I saw the market come up during the week, I sort of saw 180 Treasure the Moment, $2.30. Buckaroo, I was like, why would Buckaroo be so, you know, close to Treasure the Moment? Mm. But when I thought about it, he does have pretty strong form, Buckaroo. Mm. He likes Caulfield.
I think he died on his run there a bit, though, over 1,800. Now he's going to 2,000.
But then he's probably going to be fitter. So, yeah, I think if Treasure the Moment runs to her best, she should win. But I understand why Buckaroo's so hard in the market. But I'm interested in what you think.
I just want to talk about the track at Caulfield on Saturday where the rail's back in the true position. Mm-hmm. So last year was quite on pace and leaderish. You definitely wanted to be up there. We saw Private Life win the Caulfield Guineas after leading. We saw Deny Knowledge lead all the way. We saw Grinzinger Bell lead all the way. And in the last, we saw Antino, that great ride
from
Blake Shin, yeah, and went round and found the fence in front and just won by about six. 2023, railed in the true position. Griff led the whole way in the Caulfield Guineas as well. And we saw Alligator Blood in the Might and Power sit behind Deny Knowledge, sit second. So it is, when the rail has been out, and it was out, I think, 6 metres last time, and is out then for a big meeting, they put it back in the true. The fence is always usually the place to be, and it can be hard to make ground, especially if you're drawn wide and you've got to come down the centre of the track. So it's a big thing to look out for on Saturday. Let's talk about this race because it's very interesting. Let me get to Buckaroo, which we touched on. Buckaroo in that race we saw. So Buckaroo hasn't won for the last 8 starts. The last win for Buckaroo was in the Underwood last year. Buckaroo's never won, and this includes Buckaroo's UK runs. He's never won past 1,800 metres ever. Right. In 13 attempts, he's never won past 1,800. So that's okay. A big stat.
Big stat.
Buckaroo for me is becoming a bit of a horse that they put up short all the time and doesn't win that often a flashing light run and needs a lot of pace on and needs sort of everything to go his way. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before that race which we saw Sir Dilius win, the Underwood, mm-hmm. was a very slow time, and one of the reasons which Dano touched on was that it wasn't really Sir Dilius, you know, coming back and attacking the line so much. It was the other horses
Buckaroo
not.
Slowing down.
So Buckaroo then didn't really run out a strong 1,800.
Yep.
So for him to run out a strong 2,000 metres here, I'm against with 59 kilos when he's giving Treasure the Moment 3 kilos. Mm-hmm. There is pace in this race. What do you think of Buckaroo, Fitz, as a horse?
As a horse, top liner, good horse. But like you said, very much a flashing light type of horse. A horse that always gets back and comes down the outside. And like you, I'm taking Buckaroo on this weekend. I don't think this race sets up for Buckaroo.
And his grand final, you would have to say, would be the Caulfield Cup next week, 2,400. Like I'm saying, he can't really run a strong 2,000 metres out based on that pass run, and he's going to 2,400. He did run second in the Caulfield Cup last year, but that was off a really fast tempo. So I think the track pattern might be against him a bit here and also that fact. So Globe is going to lead here, I think, and Treasure the Moment will sit second. Globe's been really well backed.
Yeah.
$9, someone smart stepped in, I think, this morning at about 9 o'clock or something like that, took all the $9. Bookies came into about $6.50 or $7. So it was obviously very smart money on Globe based on the fact that Globe's going to lead in this small field. And we saw what Pride of Jenny did. But
sure.
For me, Mr. Globe's Brightside no Pride of Jenny.
Similar scenario, Mr. But Brightside leading.
You think Globe will run the trip and can win? Can Globe win this race, Fitz?
Globe's second pick for me. Treasure of the Moment is my horse. So I'm going to stick fat with Treasure of the Moment. We saw what happened last start. Got Pride of Jenny at the Pride of Jenny track, Mooney Valley, and the Pride of Jenny race over 1,600. I'm all right with Treasure of the Moment's run. The run was didn't lose anything for me in that run, and I think it'll sit right behind Globe. And I think Globe is the danger to Treasure of the Moment, but I think Treasure of the Moment will be too good for Globe.
And are you happy to take $1.75?
I did this morning. I took similar odds, yes.
210 or something you took?
No, nothing like that.
Any boosting?
No boosties.
I thought Treasure of the Moment was definitely the horse to beat. Not an official tip, but the horse to beat, I think, Treasure of the Moment. We can forgive the Moonee Valley curse and the Pride of Jenny factor. And also the coming back, first run back from that little setback as well. I think she'll improve. I think she's the horse to beat. I think she gets the right run as well with a genuine tempo. Just sits second and clearly the horse to beat. And I am going to back her, but I think she'll drift. I think there'll be money for other horses. I think they'll back Buckaroo. They usually always do. And I think not drift heavily, but I think we'll get 180, 185. I think you get 180 now. I think you might get 185, maybe 190.
Light Infantryman won the Australian Cup. Over 2,000 metres in the autumn.
Light Infantryman's a horse that third up and getting to the right distance too, and not hopeless at all. Yeah. Like, do you take 20 to 1 Light Infantryman as a knockout in a small field like that, I think?
Okay, we'll move on. Let's go to Caulfield Race 7, the two-rack handicap, and we're going to go and have a look at Evaporate in the Sandown Stakes. He's out in front here, and you've got Transatlantic coming up inside him. Both Evaporate and Transatlantic are very much in the market for the two-rack. Of course, we've got Sepples and Lazura as well. Probably thought Transatlantic was get underneath him here and win. I think Evaporate's a very good Group 2, Group 3 horse, but maybe he gets his chance to win a Group 1 on Saturday. Sepples has been money fit, understandable, the best horse in the race, but doesn't always work out like that. What are we going to do, King Zone?
I think this is a hard race. I've got Sepples on top, but there's a few negatives with Sepples that I found. Up 5 kilos. Only been over 1600 once, and that was in the Australian Guineas and failed as favourite behind Feroce.
Yes.
I think he's going better. Will be on pace as well, which I think is a plus, going to be a plus on Saturday. Went really hard in that race we just saw then and settled second. So has got very good early pace. Not a race I desperately want to bet in. I thought I was against Lazura, very blanket finish in Lazura's last win. There was a horse in that. And had every hope, sort of, just had everything go its way, Lazura.
Yes.
So I was against her. There was a horse in that race called Like a Lucy that drew wide, went back, has drawn wide in 10 there again, but hit the line really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
crying out for a bit of distance?
Yeah, I think it's a chance, but I don't like backing horses at Caulfield. They're going to get back. I thought out of that race, Transatlantic, I thought, out of the Evaporate race, I thought Transatlantic had a chance. Evaporate was caught wide early, went round and led and put tempo into the race. So I thought apart from Evaporate, Transatlantic had a good chance as well, because that wasn't really run to suit. And I think the value is not on the screen there, and it was in the replay, was ran third in that race, down the bottom with 52 kilos, Athanatos.
Mm-hmm.
Can sit closer from barrier one. Missed the start a little bit in that race as well. It was about $18 or $19, and I thought was good each way value.
Fizzer, what do you got to add, mate?
Very open race. We will know the track pattern by this stage of the day, you would think. So, look, I think there's a lot of hopes here. I'm with Kings. I have Sepple's top pick, but not like last start where I was tipping it to win the Group 1. I think the weight rise is the reason why I think it's levelled everything out for me in this race. I didn't have much between Sepples, Evaporate, Transatlantic, Like a Lucy, or Will He Do It. Okay. So for me, Like a Lucy's run was amazing. If you can make up ground, you give that a really good hope at $9. Very good run, Will He Do It, even though it ran eighth. It did miss a run in Sydney last start, so a little bit, don't know whether there was something wrong or they decided that race wasn't suitable. And again, barrier 11's not the best for that. But look, Sepples gets a perfect run right behind the tempo. I think Transatlantic will push on and be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I think Evaporate will struggle to get over. I'm a little bit against Evaporate more than anything else in this race. Completely open race. I couldn't talk anyone out of anything. I'm not betting.
Fair enough. Let's move to the Caulfield Guineas, the $3 million Caulfield Guineas. And I was talking to you in pre-production, King Zone, about what we're going to watch, and you said, why aren't we watching the Golden Rose? We could have, but Bayevacht won that. Bayevacht's not going around in the Caulfield Guineas. So I thought we're going to watch West of Swindon in the Stud Stakes. He's out in front at the moment. He got Vinrock, the $1.70 favourite. How he was ever $1.70 in this race, I will not know. But, of course, hindsight is beautiful. West of Swindon just picks them up, puts them down. Vinrock tries to get out, but it's all over. And West of Swindon finishes the race off. Is this a strong form race? Does West of Swindon have any chance as the Sydney Brigade come down in the form of Wotan and Autumn Boy?
Well, the Vinrock was a real victim of the valley there on Friday night. Didn't settle. Mm. What are you going?
Just thought it was a very plain run from Vinrock.
Did you watch it? It just didn't settle it. Have you really studied the tapes?
I'm a big Vinrock fan. I don't. Yeah. Mm. I thought it was he should have finished closer than he did.
You were disappointed with he let down in the straight.
Yeah,
he didn't settle.
He didn't pull himself into the race particularly quickly. And
fair enough. I'm not any rap on the format of that race. I think this race is easy. I think there's three clear form lines here: the Golden Rose, the Stutt Stakes, and the Caulfield Guineas Prelude.
Yes,
the Golden Rose, as we know, was a very highest
rating race. Absolutely,
a really really strong race every year as well. Not just off ratings, but off reality. That's a real strong race. Always the Golden Rose. A lot of winners come out of that. So I'm penning everything that's not in the Golden Rose.
Okay, I like that.
Which leaves us with four horses.
Yes.
Which are Rivellino. What else came? Nepotism. Both those horses looking for 1600. They both could improve, but they're both going to get back, and they both don't seem to be running as well as they were in the autumn.
So we're down
which leaves
two.
Us with two horses. I think there's two hopes: Autumn Boy and Wotan.
Yep.
In that race in the Golden Rose, Wotan beat home Autumn Boy by a couple of lengths, probably 2.5 lengths. Wotan did look better than Autumn Boy, but and it's a massive but. Wotan drew barrier one. I was tipping Wotan in that race and the winner Bayvacht, because they'd drawn barriers one and two. Wotan drew one and got the suck run behind Bayvacht. Now it's drawn 10 with emergencies, probably comes into about 8. Whereas Autumn Boy, who drew probably 7 or 8, sat 3 wide with no cover, now goes to barrier one. Damien Lane can sit a little closer if he wants to. Barrier one, I think, even though I'm saying it's leaderish on Saturday, I still think barriers one and two are an advantage because you're on the fence there and you're going to get that nice run through. This race is 1600 metres. I think that the trainer, Chris Waller, has set Autumn Boy for this race, and this is Autumn Boy's grand final.
Yep.
And that is why Autumn Boy is an official Saturday set.
Exciting.
Kick. And I do just want to make note of one other horse, number 17, Sentu Cavati, who does go up a little bit in weight, but ran home third and ran a good race behind Navy Pilot, who's been really well backed. Mm-hmm. Someone smart stepped in and took $9 everywhere yesterday, Navy Pilot.
Okay.
So they obviously liked that run. Sentu Cavati came down the middle over 1,400 metres and ran third and isn't on the screen. There's about 33-1. And wouldn't surprise me if runs a hole, and I think he's good value. But Autumn Boy for me, I'm betting up in an official Saturday set.
How did Autumn Boy's dad go in the Caulfield Guineas?
Autumn Boy's dad won, and you told me earlier, Autumn Boy's grandfather won. So there's a bit of
the great Redoute's Choice.
Yeah.
That wasn't that good one. Redoute's Choice and Tester.
Yeah, the Autumn Sun. It's all there for us, isn't it?
It is.
Exciting. Fizz.
I think Kings is on the right one here. Autumn Boy, I think he's going to be starting equal favourite with Woe tonight. I'm not sold. Wotan's looking for 1600. I'm no trainer, and Waller's a bit of a freak, so how would I know? But at the end of the day, I'm sticking my neck out and saying Autumn Boy's the one, especially at the odds. I think they'll start closer to $4 each of two. Mm. I'm a little bit I thought Navy Pilot was the third pick, the one that they've backed. And you showed the West of Swindon race. I preferred the run of Romantic Encounter in that, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
So if you flip the odds around a little bit there, $15.21, a bit more value for the 15 for me, and it'll go forward, I think. Whereas I think West of Swindon won't get the right run from barrier 16. So I'm with Kings. I'm not officially tipping anything, but Autumn Boy looks the price to me, looks the
excellent
one.
He nearly dropped Wotan back in distance, back to 1,200, decided. So he's sitting on the fence.
I thought it had every hope in that. I thought it had every hope. And from what I've looked at, I don't think it was hitting the line like a horse that wants 1,600. Could be completely wrong, as I am a lot of the time, but we'll see what happens.
I'm running a Mates Mode Pot, and Autumn Boy looks like it'll be my first blow when we finish this show. We'll talk about that.
Are you running Mates Mode Pot this week? That's great, because I've got a few good things.
Oh, good. I'll talk about it in a little bit, but we're going to move to Crawford Race 9, the Scalacci Stakes. Now, King's Own, credit to you. He did deep form, and he came up with his trial for us. So it's Tropicas, Giga Kick, and Neon.
Yes.
At Caulfield about a week ago or something. Talk to us. Commentate for us, please.
Yeah, I don't know if this is at Caulfield, was it? But it doesn't matter. So Tropicas is on the fence here, and that's Giga Kick going up to him, and Neon's out three wide. And Tropicas, we didn't see a lot of that, but Tropicas comes back, obviously, on the line there and beats him. The other two were a lot pushed out, a lot more than what Tropicas was. I was extremely impressed with Tropicas's trial there and also Tropicas's first run. Let me just get to some other horses in the race. Giga Kick. We haven't seen Giga Kick for a while. That was it. Do you give it, for me, it's just too sharp here, 1,100 for Giga Kick. What do you think, Fitz?
Oh, I've had enough of Giga Kick. I don't think it's the horse it was. And yeah, I'm happy to let Giga Kick go around without me.
So a lot of these horses are coming out of the Moya. Golden Boom sat three wide on pace. I thought it was a very good run in the Moya.
Mm-hmm.
Neon's, who we saw in that trial there, running third, was also in the Moya over 1,000 metres. Mooney Valley, 1,000 metres, drew out wide, which wasn't the place to be on the day. I thought this race suits better. But Barrier 1 as well. Barrier 1 is, I just think it's a bit sharp. I think Neon's will be better at Flemington. Mm-hmm. I do think Neon's is a chance. Benedetta in the race as well is coming first up. Gone to Kieran Ma. She's had two very quiet trials. I just thought this race was a bit sharp for her.
Sure.
Arabian Summer.
She was very good last time.
She was, but she had every hope, got up the fence and had a much softer run than a horse like Neon's or Golden Boom out of that race as well. So I couldn't really see where the improvement's going to come with her. Nadal first up, I thought it'd be a bit sharp as well, the 1,100 first up. So I quite like this race. I really think there's only probably two hopes, and that's Neon's, which I mentioned, who's a fantastic horse. But the horse that I really like is the one that we saw win the trial there, Tropicas.
Mm-hmm.
Peak rating first up. Then we saw the trial, 1,100, loves Caulfield, and is an official Saturday set tip, two in a row. I think $5 is great odds, and I'm going to bet up again.
Shoot him down, Fizzer.
Can't shoot him down.
Good.
I can't do it to him. Look, Tropicas, the only thing I'll say about that trial, Kings, is Tropicas had race fitness on its side over Giga Kick, hence the little kickback on the inside. I wasn't thinking that trial was anything special myself, but I'm glad you're excited by it. It does come out top pick for me. I do think Neon's is the one to beat, though. I think Neon's got squeezed at the start at the Valley, everything against it at the Valley. Barrier 1, Graham Beggs on fire. I think it's the horse to beat, Neon's. I think Tropicas is the other one. I think you're on the right leg there. I'm happy to let Giga Kick go, especially around that mark. And I thought of the fresh horses. Nadal's trial was the one that caught my eye out of all the fresh horses. Arabian Summer had a nice trial in between runs. It won really well. It depends on how leaderish it is for the
Where
weekend.
Will Neon speed, do you think? How far back? Midfield?
I didn't, because it's not a betting race for me. Yeah, I didn't do the maps very strong in this race, so I couldn't tell you how far back. Surely they utilised gate one. I mean, it got a big squeeze at the Valley at the start and got a little bit shot out the back, which wouldn't have helped it, because I think I had it sitting more midfield at the Valley that night, where it was way back and had to come the widest run. Yeah, big excuses last start and a big watch for Neon's for me.
Okay, all good. That's Caulfield done. And before we move on, if you want to go and see that epic racing in the person, you can, because we've got free tickets. Thank you to our friends at the Melbourne Racing Club. You can get two tickets to Caulfield Guineas Day. The link will be in the description. I'm pretty sure we'll get some tickets for Caulfield Cup next week as well, but we'll keep that on the down low till then. And the Mates Mode Pot, Kings, we're doing another Mates Mode Pot. We're doing a Mates Mode Pot every Saturday for the next five Saturdays. I feel fresh and ready to go. We've had a few already and they've all been pretty good. So I'm looking forward to them. I need your help and I need your help. We've got to get some great bets and hopefully we can return a profit to everybody who gets involved. You can see up on the screen there, there's all the details. There's also a QR code. So head to the Ladbrokes app, go to the Mates Mode section. Up the Den 25 is the code. Plenty of action going on there over the next month or so. Anything to add? Are you ready to move on?
Well, what I will add is my four official Saturday set tips, Ladbrokes top odds, all of them.
Good.
So we'll get stuck into them earlier.
Straight away, straight in there.
Rip a couple in.
Delicious. Yeah. All right, we're going to move to Rose Hill now. We're going to go to the $2 million Hill Stakes. Can you believe that? We're going to talk about that after we have a look at this. But let's bring the market up. Kingzone, you asked for us to talk about this race.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to talk about it?
I want to talk about it because it's a Group 2. It's worth $2 million for a start, so it's a feature race. But I think that Lindemann, the favourite's very short in this market at $2.45, which is actually top price anywhere at the moment, $2.45. Six wins from 33 starts, so Lindemann's not a prolific winner, only won one out of his last 11.
Yep.
Drawn out wide as well, so going to have to be used up. We've seen Lindemann races with not a lot of early pressure and sort of getting things his own way in front a bit. This isn't the case in this race. And going to 1,900 metres, we've got a horse called Bois d'Argent in the race. Mm-hmm. Bois d'Argent.
Not on the screen.
But he's going to go press forward as well. So Lindemann's going to have to be used up a bit from that wide barrier. And, you know, with 59 on his back going to 1,900, I think is a big risk. Who's the winner then? If you just you can either lay Lindemann or you can try and find the winner. I'm going to do both. I'm going to back Kovalika here in this race. Third up going to 1,900 metres for Chris Waller.
Tommy on top. Tommy's flying.
Yeah, and gets pace on as well. I just think ready to peak. Ran fifth behind Lindemann, beat a fair way behind Lindemann and Fangirl. This is a different race. This is a bigger field with more pressure. Kovalika drawn barrier two, gets a nice run. Will get back, but gets a nice run. I think the winner will come sort of from midfield to back in this race. And I think 650 is not a huge price, not an official Saturday set tip, but it's definitely a good play.
Great. Fizz, what do you got to add, mate?
King Surprise, this one on me late, so I didn't do a whole lot of form for this race because it's not one I'm that keen on. Lindemann did come out on the ratings, top pick for me. Kovalika, Faulkner Park and Militarise were the next three. But Kingswood's run was really good down in Melbourne. Light Infantry Man is a dual nom because it was in the race we looked at down in Victoria. So, look, I don't have anything much to add. Kings is keen to lay Lindemann. I'm not going to be backing it. Go King.
Fair enough. So I want to talk about the prize money of this race. I'm PVL's biggest proponent. I think it's awesome, and I think that what he's done is to make the Sydney Spring as important as the Melbourne Spring has been a good thing. I know that it's been, you know, a rocky road to get here, and I think it's great for the punter. But I think we've reached the point where the whole concept is matured and we need to do some reconciliation and probably pull back a bit, right? Like, this is the perfect example. So this race is worth $2 million, right? And then you got the Might and Power down in Melbourne, which I think is worth $1 million. A lot of these horses would probably be better off down in Melbourne in that race. You can make this race worth $500,000 or something. Mm. I don't think it would make any difference to the field. On the same card, you got the Alan Brown, which is a 1,500-metre race. It's worth $1.5 million. The Epsom last weekend was worth $1.5 million. And I think that... Yeah, I just think it's time to, as I say, consolidate, pull the price in your back. You got the ATC, which has been told to show cause as to how it's even solvent, you know. Do you agree, disagree? I think there's some aspects of the Sydney Spring which are fantastic that have worked. Obviously the Everest, the King Charles, the Golden Eagle. But other things like these races here, which just haven't really made any difference, pull the money back, put into other things like infrastructure, whatever.
Mm.
And we're still, racing's better off for what PVL has done. Full credit to him. It's great, I think. But now's the time to pull back a bit.
Yeah. I spend about 0% of my week thinking about prize money on races.
Mm-hmm.
But my only opinion on the whole thing is that I love it when Sydney, like leading into the Spring Carnival and the Autumn Carnival, I love it when Sydney and Melbourne are humming along beautifully. And then I love it when it comes together, probably around Cox Plate Day. I think Cox Plate Day and that Melbourne Cup week, where that's the grand finals down in Melbourne.
Yep.
And I think Sydney should pull back them and say, this is your 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then in autumn, the reverse happens where, you know, they hum along together and then Sydney has the championships.
Yep.
And that's their 2 weeks to shine. That's their grand final. I think that's great for racing. But as far as dollar amounts and all that sort of stuff, obviously there's a lot going on with the ATC. But
it's the dollar amount that creates the friction, isn't it? Because all these horses start here because they're chasing the money. So you don't want to talk anything to add, Fizz, do you?
No opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that starts, I mean, I don't think it probably needs to start yet, but I think there should be 2 week blocks where
after the Everest,
one drops off and the other says, rightio, you know?
Seems like this after, is your the time. After the Everest, then it should, like, Melbourne should be
Cox Plate, Melbourne Cup week.
Yeah. Now, Fizz, I'm going to put something up which I do want your opinion on. Yep. It's been well talked about all week, the Car Ying Rising trial. I haven't spoken to you boys about it, which is sort of deliberately, because I want to know what you guys think about it. Let's bring the trial up and we can watch it while we talk. Okay, so of course, Car Ying jumps from the widest barrier. Zach on board, I think he rode a double last night. There's Overpass clicking up. And you got Linebacker, who wasn't even in the trial when they first announced it, but came in and ultimately wins it. Fizz, why don't you start by telling us what you made of the trial?
I'm not going to read too much into the trial because I don't follow Car Ying Rising as much as what a lot of other people do on the den. I know it's running around a lot of short prices and run and beat up the same horses consistently over in Hong Kong. I did ask someone the other day, does Car Ying Rising lead and win its trials in Hong Kong? And the answer to me was given, yes, it does.
Yep.
I find it a little bit funny that they didn't decide to do that there. I don't know whether they looked and went, oh, Overpass in the trial, I'm staying well away from him and I'll let him do whatever he wants to do.
This is the interesting part now, isn't it?
I have to say he could have let him.
He's picked him up a bit here. It's not like he's not moving, Zach.
I think Overpass's trial was way worse than Car Ying Rising's trial. Let me put it that way. I think Overpass was ridden out.
Yep.
Car Ying Rising was just travelling on the outside. I don't have any problem with it. Everyone probably find Linebacker and probably go up unders first up because of that trial. Yeah. But no problem with the trial.
Great. Kings?
Yeah, I don't think Zach seemed like he's overly happy with the trial when I saw him interviewed after, and he mentioned something about the ground. He thought the ground was a bit soft. So, I wouldn't be too concerned about that trial for Car Ying Rising. He also mentioned he got on the wrong leg around the turn and he wanted to switch legs. Which I don't know a lot about, you know, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, was it impressive? No, not really. Like, the tab's $1.50. Sportsbet $1.50.
Yeah, right, to win the Everest now.
Ladbrokes $1.70.
Wow.
Which is getting, you know, to, well, what is the right price?
Oh, it's a ridiculous price.
It's a very short price.
What price would you boys take Car Ying in the Everest?
Well, it's just such a hard one. Like, he's got the ratings over. Clearly, he's got the best ratings. But has he? What level has he done it at? Like, what, as you said, Fitz, what's the opposition over there compared to sort of what this is? But he's smashing the clock. He's probably, like, I don't know, he'd probably be three lengths better than ratings-wise than any what he's up against. Show. But then you got to mark down for travel. You got to mark down for his first go racing at Randwick as well.
Yeah.
And there is pace in this race. Like Overpass, he won't lead. Car Ying Rising won't go to the front in the Everest. I don't think, no way.
I think there's going to be plenty of pace in the Everest. I think
that, so it's a test.
I think that it's a proper test for this horse. And I don't, I mean, at the moment, if you take $1.50 or $1.70 that horse, you're living in Disneyland.
He's going to be short though with the world pool being so short.
He's going to start the gap too. So he's going to start short.
He's going to start short just off those numbers coming over from Hong Kong. But Brias is, you know, a beast.
Yeah.
Jolly Star.
Yeah, flying.
Jimmy Star.
These are proper racehorses. Lady Shenandoah as well. I know she failed last time, but she can do a big number as well. So it's not, this isn't just put in take
Overpass,
out job at all.
You didn't even mention Overpass. Overpass is on its days as good as any in the sprinting ranks.
Ran second to TJ, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you still haven't said, what price would you take?
Right now, what price would I take? Well, right now I'd take $2 because I'll be able to lay it back shorter, I think, than $2. But what price do I genuinely think Car Ying Rising is in this race? Probably more. I think he should be favourite, and I think he should be around the $2.50 to $2.80 mark.
He didn't handle the tie-ups and the crowd, even though there was only 1,000 people there. And I heard that he is not going to be tight, like saddled up in the main saddling enclosure. And there might be a little bit too because the crowd will be so intense of people trying to look at him. So they probably just want to keep him away. So all these things is they play a part, as you say. Well,
it's different. You're used to coming out at Sha Tin or Happy Valley and being in your home territory, and we see in sport, like home teams win 60% against away teams 40%. Why? Because they feel more comfortable. Car Ying Rising is playing away from home, and that's the difference of being sort of $1.50, in my opinion, to $3 type thing.
Imagine we, like, say, last week 8,500 people watched this. Imagine we did a live audience where Fizz had to sit in front of 8,500 people. He'd go to water, wouldn't he? Oh,
he'd be
I'd
right.
I'd go to water.
You're out at the...
three people.
Yeah, he did the Melbourne Cup preview on racing.com in front of 8.6 million
people. You were
very
nervous, weren't you?
I was really nervous.
You were nervous.
I was really nervous.
You were out at the trial.
I was.
What was the atmosphere like out at Randwick?
Yeah, it was great. The ATC did a fantastic job. Shout out to the ATC. Very well done. They gave us beautiful food. They had a buffet.
Oh,
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Free food.
1,000 people out there, I reckon.
How many sausage on really rolls did you put away?
Bacon egg roll. I just had one.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm watching things at the moment because I've got my bad back, so I haven't been able to train as much. But it's going all right. Slow and steady. Can I please?
What price you had one? Like, seriously.
I reckon there was some sort of dessert there at least. There's got to be.
Can I please get your Saturday set?
Are you talking about my official Saturday set? You most certainly can. It's been a long time between tips. So where were we? Let's go back to Caulfield, race 8, number 9, Autumn Boy, and race 9, number 6, Tropicus, which we spoke about. Now, this is my best bet of the day anywhere across the country. Ooh. Rose Hill, race 2, number 5, Modella.
Yes.
She's drawn, she drew wide first up, she drew wide second up. She's drawn about a barrier, but more importantly, one, she goes back to a benchmark 72, and two, she gets a lot of pace on out front. $3.30, Ladbrokes leading the way. We must rip into that and have our maximum bet on for the pot. And I threw this one in, but it's a bit of a funny one. Murray Bridge, race 4, number 3, Prairie Flower. And the reason I say it's a bit of a funny one is because there's two horses in this race, Fancify and Prairie, that are in the last race at Caulfield on Saturday as well. So it's disappointing when you get horses
dual nominated.
Oh, it's especially between states.
Hard to do the form.
It makes it hard. But anyway, we'll move on, and I just think gets more pace on, sat wide last time off a slow tempo. An extra 100 metres suits. Those are my four official Saturday set tips, and my confidence levels on Saturday are very high.
Fantastic. Fizz, your Saturday set, please.
Yeah, I've got a couple up in Eagle Farm, so we've got a race 5, number 5, Bourbon County. Like the trial, think this horse got some good upside, and around the $4 mark looks a good bet. My best bet is an Eagle Farm, race 9, number 10, the Fukubana. This horse, I'm devastated about the scratchings. They've scratched half the field, I don't know, yesterday afternoon, which I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, I was into it yesterday. I've secured good odds, but around the even money mark, I reckon you get a – anyway, I like it a lot.
Do you cop deductions, though? Or you back to before deductions?
Yeah, I cop deductions now. Yeah, I cop 31 cents, I think, so – I was on it around the $3.80 mark.
So you've ended up with about $2.
$2.60, I think I got.
And what price is it now?
It's evens now. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, I know, but I still preferred the $3.80. I thought it was immoral when there was all those horses in the race. Anyway, we'll go to Ascot Race 6, number 11, Great Emotion. Loved the run last start. They put up about $5.50 or something like that. We'll see what comes up after race day. Pretty keen on this one. Barrier 1, CJP. And then we'll go to Ascot Race 9, number 13, First Encounter. Had a nice little trial, 1,450-metre trial for this 1,400-metre assignment. I think this horse will be ready to go. It's got a stablemate in it that's the favourite, but I reckon that First Encounter is the one to beat, so we'll go from there.
Very good. Now, this is going to feel good to talk about. Let's talk about the Brisbane Broncos winning the premiership. Well done.
Thank you.
And well done to everyone out there that backed them as well, whether they followed you or whatever. And I tell you what, though, you all earned your money, eh? It wasn't...
What a final series,
It wasn't easy, eh?
Like, what a final series. Best three games I've ever had to
watch. They were just gone against Canberra. Gone against the Panthers.
That was the main one. You've got to look at Canberra. Canberra beat them twice. So they officially won the game, Canberra, and then had it reversed.
So they would have had to go to... They would have played at home and then had to go to Melbourne, which is obviously a very harder path. But against the Panthers as well, they lost. Probably not. Probably not. But against the Panthers, that could have gone either way. And then the grand final, he could have gone either way as well.
Yeah. But it didn't because of one thing. What was the one thing?
Reece Walsh.
Exactly. So let's talk about Reece Walsh. So the first thing I want to do is bring up this poll that I put up on the Den after the game. Was that the greatest individual performance in a grand final in the modern era? 180 votes, so it's a good sample size. 70% said yes. Did you vote?
I think I did on that poll. Okay, I don't vote on many of your polls, but I think I put yes. It's the best performance I've ever seen by far. Like, you know, I'm only 47, so I haven't watched every grand final, but I watched a lot.
You would have watched 40 years of
it. Yeah, mate, it was just unbelievable. Not just attack, defence. He was saving tries, scoring tries. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he saved three, he scored one.
He created one.
And he set up two.
Yeah, like, unbelievable. The performance was next level.
It's the best I've seen. Yeah. Well, Nathan Cleary was regarded as the best before that, but he only did it for
15 minutes.
Yeah, whatever it was, 20 minutes. Genius, you know, genius performance.
He got his team into trouble to get them in that position, whereas Reece Walsh just kept them hanging in there the whole time.
Not only did he did it then, What about his match against Canberra? Yeah, Canberra won the game for him, and Brisbane, he had a great game as well. So, but Carrigan coming back was enormous as well. He did like 40-something tackles and hit-ups. But what a superstar, Reece Walsh.
Okay, another poll to look at just to put to quantify it all. So this, I put some highlights up and said, if he doesn't play last night, what's the result? So what, look, you got 85% of people have said that the Storm would have won by 12 or even 18. So they're effectively saying that Broncos won by 4. So they're effectively saying that Reece Walsh is a 18-point player. Like, how often do you have someone who's worth 18
in that,
points?
In that game.
When he saved that try, that Kamakamika, I think it was, and he got his hand in between and he just, you know, dislodged the arm a little bit. Storm would have gone up by 16. And without Reece Walsh playing at that point down by 16, it's hard not to think that the Storm would have won by 18 or more, really.
Mm. Yeah.
But they scored off the back of that to go sort of 6 behind. So that was a 10-point swing. I was out there. The atmosphere was fantastic. Honestly, one of the most enjoyable nights I've ever had. I'm still so happy.
I bet it was.
What did you do? What did you do? You just went home because you went with the family. You just come home and... What did you
wear? Yeah, no, I came home, watched a replay, had a few drinks and went to bed. I was in bed about midnight.
Did anyone sit up and watch it with you or you just sat there by yourself?
I did for a while and then I just sat there for an hour by myself and had a few beers. Jeez, he was so enjoyable.
And it relieved, relieved a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I didn't bet back at all. Yeah, it's the biggest result I've had for probably 5 years or something, I think.
And
so
it sets up well for this spring carnival.
Gives me something to launch on. But I've already put up my preview on the Den last night for the 2026 NRL Premiership, so we just got to keep marching forward. Don't look back, we look forward and we try and back more winners.
Let's look at accountability. So for the boys, doing well, good work. Fizzer leads the way.
Jesus, doing well
good,
as well.
Good great results. I'm coming to get you, but we're all pretty much an average of 20%. 20% profit on turnover, that's fantastic. And that's since March of 2024 as well. So accountability in anything, whether you're winning or losing, is incredibly important. And if you're following anyone's tips, make sure they're showing whether they win or they lose.
Let's go to the best feature on the app, POTY, Punter of the Year. There are September winners. The best thing about this King's Zone is we keep throwing up new winning punters. Sambo Peters, well done. Had a little bit of a conversation with all these people. They all seem like great blokes, very appreciative of the Den and the little bit of prize money they get for it. And, of course, you can go and follow all these people to help your own punting.
Congratulations to Sambo, and it's great to see three new names up there as well. The birthplace of punting champions, eh? The Den.
So good.
Where punters are discovered. And why? Because we've got accountability on the Den. And have a look at that as well, the percentage on turnover, 37, 63, 37. I know the sample size is not big with 93, 39 and 78 bets, but it's only to win $200 and $100 max, and you can see the profit there is $7,000. So it's huge.
Yeah, it's good. Great.
Very good. All right, that's the Saturday set. This is our time. Let's have it. Let's go up the Den.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.